Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you with us today as we begin today by talking with you about children's books. Do you have pick out books for children? Have you done it? What kinds of books do you like to pick out? Tell you what, Kevin Henkes, our guest today, has a lot of information to share about picking out, selecting books, but also about his own books. He's an award-winning author and illustrator of children's books. He's collaborated with his wife, Laura Dronzek, on a book that I just absolutely love. It's called When Spring Comes, and it's coming out, the book, and spring coming out any minute, actually. So it's great to have him with us today to talk about that book and to talk about writing and certainly to talk with you. What questions do you have? What experiences can you share when it comes to children's books? The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Kevin, again, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Great to see you again.
Great to see you. I'm happy to be here, Larry.
It's been a while. You know, the I love this your new book, but I just want to say congratulations first. I mean, only one other person has won both a Caldecott and a Giesel Award for a book, and you did it for your book. And the book title is
Waiting.
Waiting. It suddenly flew out of my mind, but absolutely, you had to be really honored to.
I was thrilled. It was a big honor. Very happy. I was most surprised about the Geisel honor. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of it as a book for a beginning reader, but I'm happy to accept that.
Oh, well, it's really something, and it's. I'm wondering how awards like that are judged. Actually, we have a group of people who look at them and.
The awards are administered by the American Library Association, the Division of Services to Children. I'm not getting that exactly right, I don't think. But I believe the Caldecott is a committee of 15 people. Some are elected, some of the members, some are appointed. And they each make a number of nominations, and then they discuss and discuss and discuss. And it's a different committee every year. So that changes. And the members are of the committee are from all over the country.
And so it's obviously a great honor. And you've been doing this now for
a long time.
A long time.
I first went to New York looking for a publisher in 1980. My first book came out in 1981, and this is really the only job I've ever had, and I'm very, very lucky.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've had so much fun reading your books with my daughter, who is now she's older.
Yeah.
But Lily's Purple Plastic Purse and Chrysanthemum, those two books, I don't know how many hundred times those books were read, but it was a lot. And you know, you never get tired of reading them.
Well,
that's
thank you.
Thing.
That's what one hopes. And it is nice because with a book like that, to a child, if the book, even if the book has been around for 20 years, Lily's Purple Plastic Purse will be 20 years old this year. But to a child who's seen it for the first time, it's brand new. And that's a nice thing about books for kids.
Oh, absolutely. Stacy in Fox Cities has something for us. Stacy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm a little depressed that Lily's Purple Plastic Purse is 20.
Me too.
Oh, my gosh. That was one of the ones that I was going to say that I absolutely love. I can't believe that. Is this the first Caldecott that you've gotten? You haven't gotten one before now?
No, my book, Kitten's First Full Moon, won a Caldecott medal in 2005, I believe. And my book, Owen, was a Caldecott honor book.
Okay. Well, yes. There we go. I was just thinking, my kids are older now, and so I'm not familiar with your latest book, but my oldest daughter, Chrysanthemum, was a staple. And then with my my younger child, my son, he was and still is an anxious little thing. Well, he's 13, so he's not little anymore. But Wemberly Worried, we read over and over. Oh. And one thing that I really loved about your book was that it had really cool adults in it. It had cool parents, and with Wemberly Worried, it had the cool grandma in it.
Yes.
And it always made me feel, I don't know, affirmed.
Oh, well, thank you. I like putting caring adults and human, even though they're mice, human adults in the books. Mm-hmm. For me, I think the goal is that the book will be loved and read again and again and again. So I do want something in it for an adult to have that they can latch on to. I don't like books that I call adult books for children, but I do like something in it for an adult mm-hmm. to hold their interest, to keep them happy if they have to read it repeatedly.
Well, we certainly were. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Stacey.
Thank you, Stacey. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Pat in Duluth called, and she has some good questions for you, too. She couldn't hang on, but she wants to know about your writing process. What challenges do you encounter, and how do you overcome them?
I think creativity is hard to describe, much less understand. But for me, what usually happens, there's something that sparks my interest. It might be something I see in my everyday life. It might be something that I remember. The very best example of this is once I was in an airport waiting for a plane, and I saw a little girl who was with her father. She's about six. She had a plastic purse that made music when she opened it up, and she was driving her father absolutely crazy with her purse. I was not yet a parent at the time, so I just found it wildly funny. But I always travel with a notebook. I pulled out my notebook and I began working on what became Lily's purple plastic purse. So I think writers, the point is that writers, I think, are observers. We're always watching. We're looking for things in everyday life that might turn into something like a book. After I have an idea with a picture book, I write in longhand in a notebook and I rewrite and I rewrite and I rewrite. And when I'm writing a novel or a picture book, I read it aloud in my studio, mm-hmm. in my office, because I think, particularly with a picture book, if it's going to be read aloud, one really wants the rhythm to be exactly right. And for me, the best way to hear that is to hear it, is to read it. And that
read it out loud.
Yes. And after I get the words to the point where I think they're perfect, then I begin working on the pictures. And for me, my very favorite part about working on a picture book is when I have the words to the point where I think they're perfect, and I begin breaking up the words into what is called a book dummy. It's just mm-hmm. blank pages.
Yeah.
Figuring out where the line breaks will be, figuring out where the page turns will be, because it's very dramatic in a picture book. One wants the page turns to be exactly right, especially in a young picture book. And then I go back, I do pencil sketches for the whole book. Then I'll go back and do more refined pencil sketches. And then I go back and do the finished art. And usually when I'm working on the finished art, I slow down to savor it, because it's a nice part about bookmaking. But also I really like to have an idea for the next book in my head before I finish the book that I'm working on. And I'm always worried that I will never have another idea. So.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I hope not.
Well,
it's a big fear, though. I mean, it's a big fear.
And I teach broadcast classes from time to time, and one of the things they tell my students when they're writing copy that they have to, you know, actually read a script is you have to read it out loud.
Yes. And really, you hear what's wrong, and
you hear what's
right.
Yeah,
and it's nice. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it sticks with some, and with some it doesn't stick, but it's great to hear you sort of reaffirm that whole process.
Oh,
and when spring comes, is your newest book, which is
right.
out tomorrow.
Yes.
When spring comes is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
And here you worked with
my wife Laura Dronsek. It's our third collaboration, and I love it. I think it looks beautiful.
And it just takes you, it takes you from winter to spring. And
yes.
But the illustrations are so wonderful.
I would agree. I think they're absolutely.
I mean, you
beautiful.
Get lost in those photos. In those illustrations. I just get lost in those illustrations. They're so lovely. And as an adult, I would want to read this again and again. I can picture my own daughter when she was of an age. Actually, she'd enjoy it now. I bet she's 12 now, but she'd still love the illustrations.
That's always the hope that, even if a book is for a young child, that, I think the age ranges for which books are intended are very fuzzy.
Yeah.
And I think.
And this is probably for the youngest.
It's for young kids, yes.
Yeah, young kids.
I don't know, grade two or something. I don't know.
But even
I don't think about that when I'm working on them.
I am convinced that even of the very youngest child would love.
Oh, absolutely.
A baby.
And there's so much that one can. Even if one has a book that has a text in it and you're sharing it with a very young child, there's so much that one can talk about if you put a child on your lap. So much about, I think, reading a book one-on-one is the human connection. And you can talk about a book. You could even, there's so much to talk about before you even open the cover. You can talk about the size of the book. You can talk about the shape of the book. You can talk about the colors on the cover. You can take the child's finger and trace something that's, part of the illustration on the jacket. I think there's so much about a book that if you're sharing it with a child, that really just enhances the bond between the reader and the listener. Mm-hmm.
Do you notice any trends now in children's literature? Are you seeing anything?
Oh, boy. I'm not up on books the way I used to be. I used to read everything. I think there's probably with older books for older kids, there still seems to be a dystopian trend.
Yeah.
And I find, and I could be wrong, this isn't scientific at all, but I find with books for younger kids, there seem to be a lot of books that to me seem kind of ironic and hip. Mm. Not my favorite kind of book, but it seems to me that is sort of a trend. And I think there are several books that seem to me to be more for 20-somethings than they are for children. But, that's, I think, personal taste comes into
play there.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Henkes, our guest today, we're talking about his books, but also about selecting books for your children or your grandchildren or your neighbor's children. Give us a call with your own experiences or your own questions. What do you look for when you're picking out books for children? What common themes have you noticed in children's literature? Or maybe what's your favorite children's book? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Brian Schasso, our on-air producer. I'm Larry Mehler here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're visiting with Kevin Henkes about selecting books for children. We're talking about his books. He's won so many awards for his children's books over the years, and they're endearing books. Books that when you buy, you would never give these books away except to a dear friend or to your own daughter or son for them to read to their children, because I think his books are enduring. And I've always enjoyed talking with him. And certainly you can join in, too. Maybe you have a question for him or comment. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Karen emailed us that she has loved your books as a teacher and as a mom and looks forward to sharing them with granddaughters when they're old enough. So it's just what I was talking
exactly.
about. is something. She also says that a Madison knitting designer, Susan B. Anderson, recently gave a nod to your book, Waiting, on her blog.
Oh.
She designed and knitted three new toys, a raccoon, an octopus, and a turtle. And there they would sit side by side in her window looking outside, waiting for her human.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, nice. And waiting, just the brief description of that for those who are listening is...
Waiting is a book about five figurines that are on a windowsill, each one waiting for something different. One who is happy just looking out the window, not waiting for anything in particular. And that book actually began because I started in 2006 going to Higher Fire Clay Studio in Madison. And I didn't throw on the wheel. I would go weekly, but I would make these little hand-built animal sculptures.
Uh-huh.
Have over 100 of them, most of them in my studio on the shelves in the windowsill. And I would look at them every day. And the ones on the windowsill looked as if they were looking out the window waiting for something. And that was the inspiration for that book.
And again, that book was a Caldecott winner and a Geisel honor book. Only one other person has received that combination of awards for a book, and so it's wonderful. Leslie in Milwaukee has something for you. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi. Great.
I was just going to say I really loved Waiting. It was a great book. I've nanny, and I've read a lot of children's books over the years, and I really like that one especially. My question was, do you have any tips on helping children expand their focus on books that they like to read? Like right now I nanny for a 4-year-old who only wants to read about trucks.
Well, I think exposure is probably everything. My kids are now 18 and 20, but when they were younger, I would read to them every morning at breakfast. I would read novels. And my son did not want books, novels with female protagonists. And I just decided that I would try. So I began reading Beverly Cleary with Ramona, and he adored Ramona. How could one not? And so I think exposure is everything. My daughter only wanted what she called modern books. She didn't want books about people who, you know, lived a long time ago. But we read all the Little House books, and we read books by Eleanor Estes and Elizabeth Enright. And so I think exposure is probably the way to do it. And if a child likes a particular thing, but they also like humor, you could, you know, find a book that's humorous that isn't about that thing that they like, but it's still a funny book. So I think there are different ways to kind of
good idea.
Or one can say, which I did with my kids too, I really liked this book when I was your age. Let's try it and see what you think. So there are different ways, I think, to finesse it and to try to figure out a way to expand their
horizon, so to speak.
Yeah.
Leslie, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And let's go to Martha in Eau Claire next. Hi, Martha. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I recently illustrated a children's book, and I've kind of been fascinated with doing that for a long time. And Now I'm trying to look for somebody who would publish it. What is the best way to go about getting a book published?
Well, I have to begin by saying the field has really changed since I began. I was looking for a publisher in 1980. It's changed a lot. When I began, one could send a portfolio, send a manuscript to a publisher without an agent. One could make an appointment at publishers and get one without an agent, which is what I did. I've never had an agent in my whole career. So that's changed. So it's different. But I think a couple of good resources are the Children's Book Council, which you could check them out online. The Children's Book Council is in New York City. But on their website, I believe they offer tips for how to get published. Very helpful. Another good resource is the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, SCBWI. It's a national organization, perhaps international. There are regional chapters throughout the country, They hold conferences. They have, I believe, a very good website. And they also offer very good tips for how to get published, how to find an agent. I've never had to find one, so I really don't know how to do that. But I think one very good thing that I would say before looking to find a publisher is to really look at books by publisher to see what publisher publishes what kind of book and to try to really figure out where you might think your book fits in. And I think that's really important. You might have a great book, but if you're sending it to the wrong place or looking at the wrong place, it probably won't get published. So I think that's very important.
Oh, that's wonderful advice.
Thank you.
Martha, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And let's turn to Dan in La Crosse next. Dan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm a, among other things, a songwriter, and I've written 5 musical plays for children. when I see children's movies, Disney and so on, they're just so jam-packed with action. And mine are funny, but they're kind of more low-key, maybe a little more subtle and educational. I wonder if you could comment on the issue. Do I have to try to match Disney, or can I forge my own path?
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's an area that's sort of beyond my knowledge at all. I really don't know much about song. I don't know anything about songwriting. I know a little bit about plays just because some of my books have been turned into plays, but yeah. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. So I don't know. I mean, it's part of the world that I have no real knowledge. There's nothing I can really say.
It's and you and in your own writing, you if you're just thinking about books, you would not, you know, Disney books are a world of
yeah, it's of very different. I think one should. I mean, it's easy for me to say, I suppose, but I think one should really follow what they feel is, you know, true to who they are and what they love to do.
And I think, Dan, I'm going back to your earlier suggestions to the writer. I think he probably needs to look at publishers of music that have music that's similar to the kinds of music that he does. I think that advice goes regardless.
Yes.
Dan, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Let's turn to Pat in Green Bay next. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I've been listening to your show for quite a while. And once in a while, when my daughter would ask me for help at the school she taught at, she taught first grade, and once in a while, when we would go into the library, I would go with her just to help out. And in the entryway was a picture of Kevin Hankes that was on the wall telling us that he was going to make an appearance there. And I told my daughter that I think I knew his dad, who I went to grade school and high school with in Racine. So I got a lot of personal satisfaction
out of seeing
my friend's son's picture on the entryway into the library.
That's a nice connection. Thank you.
Yes, it was.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you very much for calling. Do you go on, you know, out on the road, Kevin?
I used to do it a lot. I did go out on the road quite a bit for my book Waiting in September and October. I did bookstores and schools, and it was really wonderful. More than anything, I like being at home, but it is nice to get out in the world and see who my audience is. And it was really, really wonderful. I saw kids who, one in particular, I was in Santa Cruz on a Friday night at 7 o'clock at a bookstore, and a young woman came with her mother. She was a high school senior. She had given up her Friday night with her friends to come to my book signing. She brought her tattered copy of Chrysanthemum. And then after the signing, she and her mother were going out for dinner. And her mother said this was a big deal. She said she's very social. For her to give up her Friday night was, you know, she really wanted to do it. That was very, very heartening for me. I love that. And it's great to see teachers who say, we read Chrysanthemum or Lily's Purple Plastic Purse on the first day of school every year, or, you know, we study you for the whole month of October. It's very nice when one sees that and is part of that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we mentioned When Spring Comes, and, you know, the title, I guess, it gives away the story. But talk about this particular book.
Well, actually,
it's just coming out tomorrow.
When Spring Comes is a very young picture book about the change from winter to spring. And I actually wrote it before my book Waiting, and I thought it would be for me. And I wrote it, and I liked it. And my wife and I have collaborated before on two books, and she's illustrated books for other writers. And she had finished something and wasn't working on a book at the time and really liked the text. And I thought it would really work well for her, even though I had written it for me. And our wedding anniversary was approaching. And on our wedding anniversary was on a Sunday. And on the Friday before, I thought, I'll give it to her for an anniversary gift. But I couldn't give it to her without getting it accepted. I didn't know if my editor would like it or not. So I called my editor on Friday, read it to my editor over the phone. She said, yes, you can give it to her. Gave it to my wife, who began working on it. But then I had a little dry spell, and nothing was coming. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I wish I hadn't given it away. And my wife even offered to give it back to me, which I couldn't do. But then the spark of the idea for Waiting came. And and actually, it was originally called Waiting for Spring. But we had to change the title because there's a little too much waiting.
Well, Waiting is the perfect title for that book.
Yes.
So it all works out.
It all worked out.
Oh, man. It's wonderful to have that backstory. Frances in Watertown, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm enjoying your show and hearing your children's author. I'm a retired middle school teacher and have been writing children's pieces for quite a long time, and I wanted to suggest an alternative to the route that your guest was talking about, and that is what I did is I took my story to our local newspaper in Watertown, and who was looking for a children's serial, and printed it in the Watertown paper, and then through the organization of Newspapers and Education, was able to offer it free of charge to any newspaper across the country who was interested in publishing the story. And I have had the delightful experience of having about 15 or 20 papers from 10 or 11 different states publish my three serials.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what a great way to reach a lot of kids.
Yeah, and get them interested. I like it because it gets them interested in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And, you know, have something to look forward to each week in the newspaper. So it's been a great alternative. I have since printed them as books, but am particularly thrilled with the newspaper aspect.
Well, that's really interesting. Wonderful. Thank you, Frances. Appreciate your call and what you're doing. I love that. I love that idea.
And I think there probably are more and more opportunities with the internet, ways in which people can reach readers, different ways people can write.
I think the great thing about your books is that they're books.
Well, I love that, and I'm...
Are any of them published on sort of in online or...
They're available on different devices.
But there's nothing like picking... Like this book, When Spring Comes?
I love a book. I love a book because one can do so much with the size of a book, with the shape of a book.
Well,
with
the
feel of the paper, with the page turns.
And the color. I mean, the richness of the colors in this book.
The printing is really beautiful.
Who's the publisher? The publisher.
It's Green Willow Books, which is a division of HarperCollins.
Yeah, and I'm just the feel of the paper,
the richness of the colors is just, I mean, you get lost in just looking at those.
And I love all those aspects of bookmaking. The paper for When Spring Comes is a very smooth paper. And so the ink sits on it and is very vibrant. The book, Waiting, is on a vellum paper. And so the ink sort of soaks in. It has a different feel. And I love making all those choices because I think everything...
And you get really to make those choices?
Yeah. And picking the font and all of that.
Wow. And the underscore, you were about to say the underscore.
Oh, just whatever one is trying to say with the book. I think all those choices can really... all are a piece of it. Everything matters.
Well, it surely does. Wesley on Facebook says that he and his daughter are reading The Princess in Black.
I don't know it.
Series.
I don't know it.
The Princess of, here we go, Princess the Monster Fighter with her noble steed, Frimple Pants.
Ah. It is amazing. My kids are now older, one in college, but the one thing that I do remember when I would read to them aloud at breakfast every day, I would read. My wife was making lunches. So all four of us had this thing that we were doing together every day. And if we were reading a novel, you know, it would take several weeks often to read it and finish it. It was part of our family life, which was really wonderful. And I think that is a really dynamic, important aspect of reading with one's family.
That's such a wonderful thing to do. I go back to my grade school days. Our teacher would start every day with sort of a chapter a day.
Yes,
that was the first thing we got, and oh my goodness, And it always, and of course, you know, each chapter commonly would end with some sort of a little cliffhanger.
Yeah.
read more. No, yeah. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's certainly helped develop my love for reading and interest in reading. It was just great. Well, we have, and I there is an idea out there which is totally not correct, as far as I'm concerned, that anybody can write a children's book. Well, I think anybody can write one, but a good one.
I think it's very hard to do. I think it's hard to do, and I worry that I'll never do another one. I think people think because they're often short that it's easy. I think people think if there aren't very many words, must not be very hard to do. But I think... when you limit yourself in that way, I think it makes everything that's there matter even more. I think it's hard. I think it's hard to do it well. Work hard at it.
Yeah. Well, are you working now? Here I am. When Spring Comes is just coming out tomorrow, and I'm lucky enough to have. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this book home, and I'm going to sit down with my daughter. And we're going to read this book
great.
together. And I might even make her sit on my lap, which would be, she'd be hard-pressed probably to do, but not if for this book. Or at least we'll sit really close together and read this book together and look at the wonderful illustrations and just enjoy it and kind of remember back to when we were reading your other book. Yeah. Your other wonderful books. Are you working on another book now?
I've just finished a picture book called Egg, E-G-G, one word. And it's a very young picture book. I think of it as a graphic novel for preschoolers. There are no sentences, just words, and a lot of visual storytelling with panels. So I just finished that, and now I'm working on a novel.
For middle
school kids.
Middle school kids?
Yeah, very early in the process, so not much to say.
Not much to say.
Egg will come out in spring of 2017.
Oh, well, it's always a wonderful experience to have a chance to visit with you, Kevin.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank
you for your books. They're wonderful.
You're welcome.
Kevin Henkes has... written many, many books. Waiting, which was a 2016 Caldecott Honor book and a Geisel Honor book, out for about a year now, I think it's been, hasn't it?
Waiting came out September 1st, I think.
Yeah, okay, yeah. September. Yeah. And When Spring Comes is coming out tomorrow, and I hope you have a chance to take a look at it. He's a wonderful writer, and I will never forget Lily's Purple Plastic Purse, nor will I ever forget Chrysanthemum. Stay with us. We're going to turn to the world of science with Bassam Shakashiri, professor of chemistry at the UW-Madison, who does some amazing things in his own field. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.